Thank you, Erica. That was excellent. That was perfect. Excellent. Good job. Good morning, everyone. Wasn't that a good lesson? Good lesson for all of us to, not just the children to hear and learn, but good lesson for all of us. Wasn't the music excellent this morning? I like the choice and selection of songs that were used and ministered to my heart, but God's grace finding me. And while we were singing it, I was thinking of, in which I will ask you a question. Can you remember back what it was like before you found Jesus in your heart? Do you remember the life you lived and the way you lived it before Christ came into your experience? I can remember what it was like, and I'm glad that he came into my heart. I'm glad that he changed me. I'm glad he changed the course that I had set for myself. Not so much that I had a course to say I'm going from point A to point B, and this is the track I'm going. It was just kind of floundering along the path that I was, that was just unfolding whatever unfolded. That was my life. But by the grace of God, moving, touching my heart, I came to know him. Also to know the great depth of love that God has for us. I don't think I ever preach a sermon, and I hope I never do. I don't intend to ever preach a sermon without telling all of you how much God loves you. That you never doubt God's love for you. Never question his love for you. God loves you. Sometimes we wake up in the morning and we just feel life is great. This is just awesome. Sometimes we wake up in the morning and life doesn't seem so great. It doesn't seem so awesome. And when we ask ourselves, well, really, what has changed? What's the difference from today to yesterday? And we can't honestly, sometimes I can't anyway, I can't honestly figure out what is different. So I only have to see and realize, come to the conclusion, that it's just my feelings. How I feel makes a difference today versus how I felt yesterday, which was a good day. And so can my feelings be trusted when I might even put into question God's love for me? That might come into question because of my feelings? Let's not let our feelings drive us or steer us away from something that is solid and bedrock sure, that God loves you. God loves you. God loves every one of you. He loves you very deeply. He proved it through sending Christ to redeem us. When we were lost, there was no hope. He did something about it. If you had been the only one in the world that had ever sinned, everybody else made it fine. You'd been the only one that ever sinned. Christ would have come to redeem you. That's the kind of love that he has for us. You know, when I think about life, years ago, a man stood up front and he preached a sermon and he said, we have three enemies. And I come to the conclusion that this man was right. The world is our enemy. The flesh is our enemy. And the devil is our enemy. How many of us would ever go out to the world and find somebody when we're on our pursuit to get to heaven, would we ever go to an individual who believes that we only have one shot in life, that what happens here is all we get, and once we die, that's the end? Would we ever go to that individual and say to them, would you help me and direct me and tell me how I can get to heaven? We wouldn't go to that person, would we? Because they're at that time in their life, they're not seeking for heaven. They don't believe there's an afterlife. They're not searching for God. They don't believe there is a God. They're not following in a way of their life that would direct them towards heaven. Now, I don't believe that just because we see an individual like that today, that that's the way they'll be tomorrow, you see, because I believe that that God has one thing in mind, and that is that everybody, when the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, so it's the whosoevers. There was one time when I stood out in the field of the whosoevers and I didn't know that whosoever believeth on him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. There was a day when I stood with the whosoevers until the day I came to believe. So I wouldn't seek that type of an individual to guide me to find a way to heaven. Would I go to the devil and pray to him to tell him, I'd like to get to know God and I'd like to make it to heaven? Would you guide me? Would you help me? Would you show me the way? Would you direct me? Would you encourage me? How do I get there? Would I go to the devil and ask him for help? No. But you know what he might say? You better believe I can help you. I'll guide you. I'll show you a way. We don't go to the sources that are not going to help us to get to heaven. So do I go to my flesh and say, will you help me to get to heaven? Do we ask our flesh to help us to get to heaven? Now, you have to pay attention to this, because when you think about you, we'll often say, yeah, me, myself, and I. No difference between me, myself, and I. It's all the same. And yet, when we take ourselves apart to see us how God sees us, there is a flesh. And so if I said to my flesh, will you help me get to heaven? What does my flesh want? What does my flesh want? My flesh, this is true about it. I've learned two things about life that I believe there's a lot more that I'm sure I will learn, have learned, but these two stand pretty paramount in my thinking. And one of them is that nobody gets out of this world alive. Some people say, yeah, but what about the translation? If Jesus comes, I'm whisked away. You don't enter heaven with the flesh. You won't. The Bible says no flesh will see God and live. So when we're whisked away, if the rapture takes place, it isn't this body that goes. This body, this flesh, this dust creature that we live in will be left behind. So none of us gets out of this world alive. Second thing is that I will never, once I leave this body, pay attention to this, once I leave this body, I will never, never enter it again. Paul tells us that which is buried is earthy, that which is raised is spiritual. So once I leave this body, I will never enter it again. You know what? I'm thankful for that. I woke up yesterday morning and said, Kath, my shoulder is just so sore. Ah, my knees, I'm thinking about having my knees replaced this winter. I have a hearing aid stuck in my ear. Sometimes they help and sometimes they don't. I wanted to have a children's church one time and just have my hearing aid dangle off the side. And just start it that way, just leaving it dangled. Say, there's something wrong. Can you tell what's wrong? Hearing aids are great devices at times. Most of the time, it's like having a microphone out in the middle of the room. And so all of the sounds are going to it, and your ears are trying to sort out. And if somebody calls your name, hey, Rick, and it's the same volume level of everybody else, I don't hear, hey, Rick. Those of you with good ears, you turn because your ears triangulate to where that sound is coming from. Once I leave this body, I'll never enter it again. And nor do I want to. nor do you want to. Our bodies, I'm a mechanical guy. I try to think of things that logically, that it has to make sense of why God did things the way that he did. Many of the things, we will never figure out why they work the way that they work. But our bodies really are just a mode of transportation. It takes us from one point to another. It enables us, watch, to pick up something. It's earthy. It deals with earthy stuff. It can pick up weights and it can move from point A to point B. But if my spirit would come out of me, of course the flesh would fall dead, but if my spirit would come out of me, can it pick up something? In this earth, I don't believe that it can pick up anything in this earth. Our spirits are different than the body, but it's all a part of the same. But also, when we say, this man who said, preached this sermon, he said, we have three enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil. And so we know that we would not seek the devil for help to help us to get to God. We wouldn't go out to the world that just, if we went to the world, why is it that it was the world that took our Savior, if they're so wise, it's the world that took our Savior and killed him. So we wouldn't go and seek for the world to help us to get to God. But here's one of the things that we do. We go to our flesh to help us get to God. Process it. Think about it. If our flesh is an enemy, if it's an enemy to us, and when I say that, in this respect, because I'm going to come around so that you'll see that we need the flesh, and it's a wonderful part of us, but it has to be controlled. And so how do we control it? We'll come to that. But when it comes to this part of our flesh, when I say it's our enemy, in that it has a will of its own. It has a desire of its own. It has wants of its own. It has things that it would like to do of its own. But you might say that our spirits are contained within us, within that body, but also our bodies are controlled by something unseen. You can't touch it, you can't feel it, but you know that it's there. The Bible talks, I thought of this for Phyllis this morning. The Bible talks about the day of our visitation. Sometimes it's put in the context of God dealing with a nation when they have gone so far, they're so wicked, they're so bad, that God steps in and deals with what is going on. That God intervenes to deal with this. And he says, in the day of thy visitation. You know, you think these things, you think that. Read the book of Jeremiah. It talks about several times the day of thy visitation. But it also talks in the New Testament about the day of thy visitation. I stood on the shore of our lake, and we were having a baptism this summer. And Pastor Ron baptized some, and then he turned to me and he said, anything you'd like to say, Pastor Rick? And I said, yeah, I'd like to give an invitation to see, is there anybody else out here that would like to take this step, that would like to enter these waters? And Phyllis was up on the shore, I remember. She raised her hand, and she headed right down to the water. But I spoke that day about the day of thy visitation. Is God speaking to anybody else's heart, the day of thy visitation? We can remember people. We can remember back when God moved on us. He touched our hearts. He drew us. He called us. It was the day of our visitation when we stepped forward and said, yes, I'm done with this life. I want to choose a new course. I want to follow God. I want to serve him. I want to make it to heaven. I want to see that being that created me. I want someday to look upon the face of God. Wonderful, wonderful choices we made that day, the day of thy visitation. Phyllis came down, didn't have clothes to change in, entered that water. And my goodness, what a difference. I didn't know you before, Phyllis. I didn't know you before. But what I see now is the work of God in your life. It's wonderful. Some of us, to separate the world, the flesh off now. When we struggle with things that go on in our flesh, sometimes it's a recurring thing that seems to constantly come up. Paul said, I sought the Lord three times over this one thing. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for thee. Sometimes I think we allow our flesh to beat us up over the imperfections of the flesh and over the parts of us that can never be changed. It's a part of the flesh. And yet we beat ourselves up over, I want to be better. I want to do this. I want to change here. I want. That's the spiritual part of it. That's our spirit calling out to say, I want this. But sometimes, no. What I want to say is, don't expect of the flesh what is impossible for the flesh to do. The flesh will never be the spirit. The flesh will never inherit eternal life. This corpse, and I call it a corpse because that's all it is. Jesus actually talked about us, the walking dead. You see that movie. I saw the show. I saw it one time. I'll never watch that again. You know, my grandson was coming up. Hey, Gramps, he says, record this thing. He said, I want to watch this with you. He says, I'm really enjoying this. I said, okay, so I didn't know what it was, so I pushed the record button, looking forward to my grandson come up. And so we sit down, and all of a sudden this stuff starts walking around. I look over and I thought, maybe it'll get better. It never did. Oh, well, each to their own. But Jesus talked about us being walking dead. Without God, we're walking dead. There's no hope. There is no future. The flesh will die, and so the spirit will return to the God who gave it, but never realize or enter into the fullness of what God had for that individual. But when we take the whole of us, when we take the person of us, when we take this body of ours and let it be controlled by God, and let it be controlled by the Spirit, and Don, would you go to 1 Corinthians 2? There's something here. It's kind of hidden if you don't. Let me start over. When you read Paul's writings, and of course I read in the American Standard Version, in the American Standard Version in Paul's writings, if you start at the end of the chapter and work back towards the first of the chapter, you might get more out of it than reading from the first verse to the end. I found that some in Paul's writing because he'll say, this and 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 this, and then he goes on for a couple chapters, this and this, and then he'll say, therefore, there. Okay, the therefore, where are we picking this therefore up from? And so I go backwards and look for, I get that, I see it. So there's some things in the way Paul writes, in the spirit, especially the American Standard Version I read from, pardon me for reading from it, but I've done it for 50 years from this book. So when I quote scripture, it comes from the wording of this. Others of you who have other translations, you quote scripture, and I have to say, okay, I think that's this verse they're talking about because of the different language, the newer words are put the way it's been translated. So it's all fine. But let's start with the second chapter of 1 Corinthians. And I'll read through it and then come back on it. We're going to read from the 6th verse to through the 14th verse. We speak wisdom, however, among them that are full grown, yet a wisdom not of this world, nor of the rulers of this world, who are coming to naught. But we speak God's wisdom in a mystery, even the wisdom that hath been hidden, which God foreordained before the worlds unto our glory, which none of the rulers of this world hath known. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, things which eye saw not, and ear heard not, and which entered not into the heart of man, whatsoever things God prepared for those that loved him, them that love him. But unto us God revealed them through the Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For who among men knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, the things of God none knoweth, save the Spirit of God. But we received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is from God, that we might know the things that were freely given to us of God, which things also we speak not in words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Spirit teacheth, combining spiritual things with spiritual words. Now the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, and he cannot know them, because they are spiritually judged. But he that is spiritual judges all things. Well, I only wanted to go through 14. The rest of it isn't, I mean, it's fine, but it's not what I'm after. So in the 14th verse, it says, now the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. And he cannot know them, because they are spiritually judged. So when we take the fleshly part of us, and we try to make sense of it, even sometimes speaking to people of the world, they would say to us, that is the stupidest thing I've ever heard, that somebody would ever think that they could believe that there's a God out there. And then I think, it's the stupidest of the stupidest things to not believe it. And so the conflict that takes place there of the natural man not being able to judge these things, but the spiritual man, they are judged. Now, one of the things that I like about the older versions is this, that the older versions of the Bible, and some of the newer ones do too, they'll have cross-references that you can look up. And then sometimes they'll have a little notation indicated by a tiny little number alongside of a passage. And so then that means down below in the bottom of the Bible, there is an alternate wording for what could be put in place of what is there. And so when I come to the place here where it says, look in the 13th verse, which things also we speak not in words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Spirit teacheth. Watch this now. Which the Spirit teacheth. Now, there's a little tiny 14 here that gives an alternate reading. Which the Spirit teacheth, and here it's written, it says, combining spiritual things with spiritual words, but down below it says, interpreting spiritual things to spiritual men. Interpreting spiritual things to spiritual men. Now, when the word men, you can look in the Bible all through, just because the word men or man is used, it's all across the board. It means mankind. It doesn't sometimes indicates that it is speaking about a specific man. Now, Jacob was a man. So, but when it speaks of this, it's mankind. So when you think of ourselves going to our body or our flesh and say, will you help me to get to God? It has a will and a desire of its own. But within us, God put a spirit. And so when he says up here, 11th verse, if you would, Don. For who among knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of the man? There isn't anybody in this room including my wife, that knows me better than me. I know me better than anybody. But within the me part of me, do you see what it says? For who among men knoweth the things of man save the spirit of the man, except the spirit of the man? My spirit knows who I am. When it comes to the end, when everything is done and the judgment is set, there is no part of my flesh that comes up to witness against me or for me. My flesh is on earth. The only thing that enters into eternity is the spirit of the man. And so that spirit of us, it knows everything that our flesh knows, but when our flesh dies, the brain, all that is stored in the gray matter is gone. It can't be recollected or connected, or it just is gone. But when it comes to the spirit of the man, we take into eternity who we are, what we've become, what we've done. And so he says, for who among men knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of the man? Now watch this, because this is what can be missed. The spirit of man which is in him. Even so, the things of God none knoweth except the spirit of God. The spirit of God knows what God is about, what his desires are. Now follow this, because this is where we miss it. But we receive not the spirit of the world, but what? But the spirit which is from God. So you see, here's the beautiful part. We have a flesh and blood part of us. We have a spiritual part of us that can hear, because it says he interprets these things to spiritual men so that we hear what the Spirit of God has to say to the spirit of the man that is within us. And not only so do we have a spirit, but his spirit says it comes within us to lead us and to guide us. Jesus said this, he would send the Holy Spirit to lead us and to guide us into the truth. And so before the day of my visitation, when I was following my way, chasing after what I wanted week after week, year after year, chasing after those things, until the day that God moved in my heart, the day of my visitation, I wanted to know, but didn't know how to find it. I knew that there had to be something more, but I didn't know how to get it. And somebody showed me how. But it was God's spirit ahead of time. Phyllis, that moment that you stepped forward, that wasn't the first moment God moved on your heart. God had been working. God had been working in your heart. Because he draws us. The Bible says, no one comes to the Father except by me, Jesus said. And he says, and no one comes to the Father except the Father draw him. So this is why when I say to you, God loves you, that God cares about you, that God deeply loves you. It didn't start that day. It had been a long process that God had been working on our heart. And this is why I say, and Pastor Ron has referred to me saying this, there are people in the world who are the saved and the yet to be saved. Everyone out there, God is working in their hearts. I have to believe that. The Word tells us that he draws us. But I believe that because when I was unlovable, when I was yet a sinner, Christ died for me. When we were lost and helpless, we didn't know the way to help ourselves. We could not cry to Satan to say, help me. We couldn't cry to the world to help us. We couldn't cry to our flesh to help us, because it was all three were bent on doing their own thing, until God's Spirit speaks to our spirit to make the things of God real to us, to call us to Him. So, now, where do we go from here? Well, look at this. I actually might wind up pretty close to the... Think of that, Steve. My brother Rod said, I'm so long-winded, it's going to be a long sermon. Well, I said, only a brother could say that. Yeah. But now that we know about this, now that we know that the Spirit of God dwells within us and that He speaks to us to work within our hearts, now watch, because this is so important to those of us who cry out to the flesh to help. If I could only do this, if I could only change here, we cry out to our flesh. If we could only work and solve that problem here that I have, and it can't be done, the flesh can't do it. But the Bible says this about it. It says, through the Spirit, you put to death the deeds of the body. The body is not a self-help. It isn't. It won't help us. It won't. But through the Spirit of God, when we cry out to the Spirit of God to say, I want to bring this part of my flesh in control. It's had its way long enough. I have yielded to it long enough. I'm done with letting my flesh rule. When it says, through the Spirit of God, you put to death the deeds of the body. How many of you, when you say your prayers, do you pray to the Father? Would you raise your hands? We pray to the Father. We pray to Him in the name of Jesus, right? Yep. But I'm not sure how well educated we are as the church in general about praying to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the key. Jesus said, it's better for you that I go away. How can that be? We would think if Jesus would return, how wonderful that would be. But He said, it's better for you that I go away. Because if I don't go away, the Spirit of God won't come. But if I do go, I will send forth my Spirit, and He will lead you and guide you into the truth. So if through the Spirit of God we put to death the deeds of the body, and if by trusting and praying and believing for the Holy Spirit to work with us, to make the things of God known to us, to speak to us the things of God, then why would God deny us the victory over those things that we cry out for and want to change in? And I say that this is the reason that we struggle with it, is because we're asking the flesh to help the flesh. We wouldn't ask Satan to help us. We wouldn't ask the world to help us. Don't ask the flesh to help us. It is our enemy when it comes to these things. But the Bible also says this, let each man be in control of his own vessel. Let each man, let each person be in control of his own vessel. That's a difficult thing. Except through the Spirit of God, we put to death the deeds of the body. So this is where I would like to hold out hope for you, that the places where we struggle, the places where we battle, cry out to the Holy Spirit. Say, Holy Spirit, hasn't it been long enough? I've fought this battle all these years. How do I get victory over it? I'm giving you the key that'll unlock that door today. The Holy Spirit is where we get the victory over the flesh. And so I want to say courage to you from this day forward, because I believe as I'm looking in the eyes and the hearts and seeing your hearts respond here, I think that you are getting a hold of something new as a Christian, or at least perhaps understanding it better as a Christian, to say, maybe this is what has been lacking here. And we would say, well, hasn't the Holy Spirit been present? Why? He's there all the time anyway and all this stuff. But just like we pray to God, now it isn't that the Trinity gets jealous of each other. There's no jealousy in God. If there would be jealousy in us praying to the Spirit, if it'd be wrong for us to pray to the Spirit, then why did he tell us to do it? We don't pray to the Satan. You know what Jesus said? Satan is so easy to defeat. And I don't say that haughtily. I just say it in confidence because of what my Savior told me. He said this, resist the devil and he'll flee. Does that sound hard? Resist the devil and he'll flee. Resist the devil in the name of Jesus and he will flee. Well, I got to end this. God bless us all. Take courage from today. God has wonderful things that he has given to us, wonderful power that he has given to us. He has placed within our hands to help us on this journey through life. And then you know what you'll find out. You'll find that the things that we struggle with, they fall off. And then you find something else starts to replace it. And that is a desire to do something for somebody else. A desire to help somebody else. A desire to share your faith with somebody else. A desire to help somebody find what you have found. It's like growing a plant. This plant grows and it comes up. And it's like you bear fruit. A plant cannot help but bear fruit. Once that seed's in the ground and it grows up, it will bear fruit. It is a natural process of the Christian walk to bear fruit. You don't have to try to. It will happen as the love of God and the love of Christ shines out from us. God bless you. I'd like to pray for us. Father, I thank you so much for your word. How would we know these things except this had been preserved? How would we know these things except the Holy Spirit had revealed spiritual things to other men that felt they were so important that they wanted to write them down and preserve them for generations that would follow? And so that here and now, we stand here today hearing the words of Paul, hearing the words that I've quoted from many. Hearing the words of those who believed that these were worth preserving. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your loving us, for your being in us, for your guiding us, for your trustworthiness, for your faithfulness, that when we come to you and we seek for help, that it's not flesh trying to help the flesh and say no to itself, but it's through your Spirit working within us to empower us to be men and women of God, living out the will of God for our lives. And so I pray for each one of us to find favor along these lines. And now, Father, I pray that you'll bless our pastor today and minister to his needs with what's going on with his dear mom. Bless Jerry today. Minister to the whole family, Father. Strengthen our pastor and give him all he needs. Physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually. God bless him, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Courage to you. God bless you. Have a good week. We are going to have prayer and praise out back. Anybody stay? It'd be great to have you. Okay, that's it.